From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And that was our opening sound, of course, is Sidewinder, Lee Morgan. And what could be more appropriate? The Sidewinder is the weapon of choice. A Sidewinder missile is being used to blow objects out of the sky. By the way, this is Monday, February 13, and it's 5 o'clock. And so, I hope we're up to date on the latest shootdowns, because it seems to be a daily occurrence, and they're shooting objects. And we're going to talk about that a little later. By the way, that's going to be one of the subjects: is what is this? What do we think it's about? And you are permitted to be as paranoid as you like. And suspicious, because, of course, our maximum leaders are being as careful as they can be not to be specific or give us anything to help us understand this business of the shooting down of objects. The theme, and we'll come back to it, is that mystery is the way if you want to scare children in telling a story, you allow them to imagine what it is that is out there threatening to them. So you get them into the mood by saying, this is very mysterious, or we don't know. And then you add, a little bit of violence. To say we shot it, but we don't know what it was. This is something to really be concerned about. On the show, we expect today to be talking to representatives of the Syrian Canadian and broader Canadian community, who have been trying to raise and are raising support for the people of Syria. Very specifically, we want to address that because Canada has an issue with Syria, and it is a disgrace, a national disgrace, that a humanitarian disaster such as this earthquake happens, and Canada has sanctions against Syria and doesn't lift them, and doesn't actually provide any assistance to Syria, meanwhile mouthing notions about how they care and all that. But this is a very specific problem and should be addressed. If we had a humanitarian government operating, they would say, of course, look, you've had a major earthquake, a tremendous loss of life and damage, people still suffering, cold, hunger, plus injuries. So let's just do what we can do. But instead, the United States, being the leading state in this matter, but Canada, following suit, have been doing their best to make sure that aid, if it gets to Syria, goes to one area where they have allies who are trying to overthrow the legitimate sovereign government of Syria. And that is something we're very concerned about. Here's somebody who is very concerned about it. Aloha Alkasawat. My apologies.
No problem. Hi, Phil. How are you?
It's good to talk to you, Aloha. I know. I'll congratulate you, by the way. There was a demonstration in Mississauga on Saturday, and you had a good turnout. And It was addressing the matter of what has happened in Syria and how we can all help. Can you, I mean, what is your impression? Do you know anything about the how much damage and that sort of thing, or just the story of the Syria itself?
Hi, Phil. First, I want to thank you for having me on your show. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Lulu Al-Kaswat. I'm a Syrian-Canadian here in Toronto, Mississauga area. And as you said, we went out for a Syrian community, went out for a vigil in memory of the lives that were lost in Turkey and Syria. And we stood asking and requesting that, or actually demanding that sanctions be lifted off Syria at this time where mm-hmm. where it seems devastated and it's not the time for politics.
Yes, exactly.
And it's time for humanitarian action.
Exactly.
And fast action. Mm-hmm. And so we were, you know, asking for the immediate lift of sanctions off of Syria and sending immediate relief to all Syrians, not mm-hmm. just the Turkish, as most of the aid has now being, you know, mostly funneled to Turkey, and Syria has not seen a lot of aid.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, go ahead.
What are you telling people? What can they do materially to assist? Is there a organization or site? Is it Syria Red Cross? Is the International Red Cross? I mean, what is kind of
there
steps
are,
can Canadians take?
There are a lot of steps that we hope that Canadians can help through in-kind donations or money to all the non-for-profit organizations that are helping on ground. We have the Syrian Red Crescent helping on the ground. We have the Syria Support Movement based from the U.S., also helping on ground within Syria directly. And, of course, the U.N. and the Red Cross and other organizations. There are many that are helping. At this point, we're not telling people to donate to this end or that end. We want everybody to benefit and everybody to receive aid at this time.
Mm-hmm. The demonstration on Saturday, and I assume all Canadians really would like to see, given the crisis, that sanctions be lifted so as to make it a simpler matter, right?
Yeah, right now, because of the sanctions, nobody is sending aid to Syria.
In the West, largely, yeah.
Sorry, from the West, yeah. Only recently, some countries have started to defy these sanctions and set in Damascus Airport. We have Tunis, Morocco, Egypt, Iraq, and United Arab Emirates have landed in Damascus Airport defying these sanctions. Mm-hmm. But we need a lot more. Like, there's a lot of devastation starting Latakia, Homs, Aleppo, and all the way up to the northern borders. So mm-hmm. not enough. We need much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We need equipment. We need experts in removing people from under the ground. We need experts in assessing. We need mm-hmm. equipment to remove the rubble, which the Syrian government does not have because of the sanctions that mm-hmm. are imposed since 12 years.
Yes. My understanding is one of the problems with sanctions is that even in a humanitarian situation where the government might say, well, you know, in the case of the United States, I think they've created a window where they say there's not going to be sanctions during this time frame. But commercial organizations that get involved in transferring have to worry that they still might run into problems.
Yes, it's not very clear the window that they opened. There are still implications, and there's still a third party that needs to approve any interaction or any transaction, and that's taking more than 5 weeks, which we don't have for aiding people who need to be there on the ground right now and removed from under the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there were rumors that West Union might accept, you know, transfers directly into Syria, but that also will not be approved or, you know, clear mm-hmm. until like a month's time, which is also too late. And we need to send something immediately, and we don't have time. Like, every time is of the essence. Every second counts for a life that's under the rubble.
Yes. So, by the way, the weather conditions here, this is a really
dead winter in
Syria.
Yes. And people are left homeless, and some of them have taken refuge in other people's houses and mosques and churches. But there are thousands who are left homeless and with nowhere to go. Mm. So finding shelter for them and food and medicine, that's going to be like that's a lot of undertaking for that everybody needs to step up. Western mm-hmm. countries need to step up and help as soon as possible and remove these sanctions so that everybody can start.
Yes, because just across the border, of course, the assistance flows more readily, Turkey being a member of NATO, et cetera. And we're talking about a region where everybody was hit. Apparently, right along the border, it was sort of equal amount of damage on both sides of the border there.
Correct, and we only hear in the news Turkey, and North Syria, whereas they don't say South Turkey, they say Turkey, and then they just say North Syria, whereas a lot of Syria has been damaged, not just the north, even though they were hit the most, mm-hmm. and they need the most help. I think everybody needs help. It's not just Turkey, and it's not just the north. Everywhere, like, we're all equal as humans. We all need, they all need assistance, and they all need help.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey has been, like, there's a lot of rumor that the Syrian government is not letting aid flow freely from Turkey into the north of Syria, but mm-hmm. how come they're allowing dead bodies across the border, but they're not allowing aid across the border?
Yeah.
So how come they're allowing weapons across the border, but they can't get aid across the border?
A grim point. And by the way, I'd heard that in recent, just prior to this crisis, that there was beginning to be talks of more cooperation. I hope that will accelerate, rather than pause, because there has been some hope in terms of, making it easier.
There was going to be a negotiation between Turkey and Syria sometimes it gets you thinking, like, timing of this earthquake was kind of suspicious, and it went against. Let's be positive. We hope that this will accelerate the negotiations.
By the way, people experiencing earthquakes, I mean, I'm sure you're from the region. I came from an area where I was once in a quake with more than 7. The aftershocks do is almost as much damage as the original quake.
Yeah, they're still feeling more the aftershocks, as you call them, until today. As far as Damascus, like, my family's in Damascus, and their house is shook. So can you imagine what happened in Aleppo up north? Mm-hmm. Damascus is far south. It's central, more south of Syria. Mm-hmm. So if it reached there, then we can imagine how devastating it was at the mm-hmm. higher areas. Mm-hmm. Houses have been flattened, and they've already been weakened because of the war and the bombing that's ongoing for 12 years.
Yes, this, of all things, has to come on top of a war that, my memory is, the fighting started in 2011.
Correct.
That's 11 years.
If 12 I'm, years now, yep.
Maybe 12. My gosh. We overuse the word resilient, but the Syrian people have certainly shown amazing resilience. And we should remind everybody, Damascus is perhaps the oldest city on the earth, right?
It is.
And the story of Damascus is the story of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Exactly.
And you would think that the world, the generosity would be overwhelming. I hope it will become so.
I hope so too.
We're speaking to Loloa Al-Kasawat. And Now, there was additional, and one demand, or that you're calling for,
to open also the Syrian embassy in Canada.
Yes, I want to ask you about that.
Because that's, I mean, it's our right to have an embassy of Syrians here in Canada to facilitate communication with our parents, work, any relief in cases like this.
Exactly.
Everybody has an embassy. Only the Syrians do not have an embassy. And so we are calling also to open up the embassy so we can have our voices heard.
Yes.
And
exactly. I mean, it seems to me it's just patently wrong not to have the lines of communication open. And, of course, embassies, that's what they're for. Everybody talks about politics. But, in fact, most embassy work is just simply providing services to citizens or nationals so that they can be in touch with families or arrange travel or just practical matters.
Yeah, like even for something like a power of attorney or anything to do with birth certificates, that all is hindered because we do not have an embassy.
I'm trying to remember now. The embassy has been closed a number of years.
12 years.
It has been closed for 12 years.
Yes.
Oh, that is a crying shame. Particularly now. My understanding is you had a good turnout. People were glad to have an opportunity to express how they felt.
Yeah, everybody came. We were hoping for this turnout to be a chance to unite all Syrians together under the aim of helping and sending relief to Syria. Unfortunately, some had other opinions, and they thought that sanctions should not be removed.
I think we should carry this not only to the government, but ask these. We do have opposition parties. This is a time for them to ask the government why it's persisting in this policy.
Well, in their point of view, the removal of sanctions means that it's counterproductive for them because they're trying to oust the government. So for them, it's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they already have humanitarian partners on ground who are providing assistance in the aftermath, mm-hmm. which is like contradicting to what they're saying, that not enough aid is coming. So we don't know who to believe anymore. They seem to be able to send and get relief to certain parts,
mm-hmm.
That's why they don't want the sanctions to be lifted. So when they say that we don't want sanctions to be lifted, that means they're targeting the rest of the Syrians, which is inhumane. That's in my opinion.
Yes.
Why would you wish that sanctions not be lifted and aid not flow freely to all of Syria?
Yeah, there has been a turn in the conflict itself, where it's sort of a settled situation. With not the same levels of fighting and all that. I wish Canadian elected officials and Canadians themselves would arrange to travel and see for themselves and help us have people-to-people relations in Syria.
Exactly. So I visit Syria every year, and I see every year more and more foreigners visiting Syria, so French, Spanish, Germans.
I know. I would like to see Damascus. I mean, I've asked you, and you've affirmed that yes, it's the oldest city. And
yes.
When you think of anyone who's followed the great monotheistic religions, Damascus shows up a lot.
And
one want to say, "Yeah, I'd like to see that."
I
understand it's a very beautiful city.
It is. It is beautiful. We have a lot of ancient sites that are worth seeing. And today, though, unfortunately, ISIS attacked Palmyra, which is the oldest Roman stadium. So it seems that they're also trying to make the most of this disaster and trying to attack certain areas, which is why I think the Syrian government does not want to open all crossings between Turkey and the northern border because of that fear that more rebels or more terrorists or more ISIS would come in, infiltrate, and cause more damage.
Yes.
And take advantage of the situation.
Yes. It's something, again, I wish our media, too, would give us the picture you're giving. I mean, people should understand the fact that this war has gone on so long, the people have endured, the government, it seems solid, and they've and they're making contact and relations developing with Turkey, which is a very important neighbor, and other states are opening embassies, by the way. I know I was struck by that. The president of the president of Tunisia says he's going to open
a lot of Syrian relations. Embassies have reopened, and we hope Canada will follow suit.
Yes, they should be first, but they should at least follow.
Yeah, Canada has always been a leader of humanitarian aid and justice and human rights. Yeah. We hope that Canada can go back to that and start, you know, finding. Making peace with the Syrians, and facilitating that we all come together on one table and reach a political agreement rather than instigate fighting and.
Well, Aloha, you've done your part. I again, we should. I guess maybe the best path would be to go to the Red Cross. Is that right? Red Cross in Syria, Red Cross.
In Syria, for the aid, you mean?
To provide the to help. With the earthquake relief?
There's a Syrian Red Crescent.
I was just saying, in terms of what step people might take, they should go to...
So there are MPs and to request, you know, like the sanctions being lifted for Syria, and any donations would be helpful to the Syrian Support Movement or Syrian Red Crescent, UN, UNICEF. I mean... Everything helps.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to follow this very closely because this is a magnitude of damage that we're looking at years of recovery, really. I mean, even just from this, let alone the war. But so I hope we can talk to you again soon and update ourselves as to progress and learn of how... aid is reaching Syria and how we can make sure more arrives.
Yeah, well, Syrians are on the inside are learning to cope on their own. They're stepping up and helping each other as much as they can. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much they can do with the resources that they have. So hopefully the international community will step up and help and voice their concerns and voice their unity with the Syrians and peace. Syria.
Yes. Well, Aloha, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Phil, for having
me. It's very informative, and we will stay with this story. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. It's Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM.